Good morning.
Good morning.
We're happy to welcome you here to Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church. A lot of you I see are members. I also see a few guests. This morning's call to worship is the beginning of Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Let us pray. Our God, we would seek you. We seek you because you have called us to do that. You have called us into your presence in order to praise you and to look to you for mercy and blessing. You've called us in. You have also revealed your abundant character, the fact that you are an ocean of mercy, great in compassion. Your love knows no bounds. And you have included us in your delighted presence. Father, we are glad for this. We are eager to come before you. We are glad to join with one another in worship. We bring you our praises. And we bring you our prayers. And we do this with the words the one who taught us to say, pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we will read the word of God. Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 to 21. This is perhaps an opposite example of what we just sang about. Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 to 21. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway. And if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. And thus far the reading of God's word. At this time, we will look at the confession of faith. We'll read, as the church has been doing this year, reading through the different chapters of the confession. And at this point, we're up to chapter 9 of free will. That's on page 925 in the back of the hymnal, or the Psalter hymnal. But at this point, let us tell the truth taught by Scripture, the real nature of free will, the condition of man. Let us read these words together. God hath endued the will of man with that natural liberty that it is neither forced nor by any absolute necessity of nature determined to good or evil. Man, in his state of innocency, had freedom and power to will and to do that which was good and well pleasing to God, but yet mutably, so that he might fall from it. Man, by his fall into a state of sin, hath wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation, so as a natural man, being altogether averse from that good and dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to repair himself thereunto. When God converts a sinner and translates him into the state of grace, he freeth him from his natural bondage under sin, and by his grace alone enables him freely to will and to do that which is spiritually good, yet so as that by reason of his remaining corruption, he doth not perfectly nor only will that which is good, but doth also will that which is evil. The will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. Okay. Anytime a friend of mine or someone I know says Reformed people don't believe in free will, I say, hey, we got a chapter on it in our own confession. What do you want? Some sometimes point them to that in case it might educate them a little bit. I would like to lead us in the prayer of intercession now. Let's all remember, I may be here leading, voicing the words, but we are all praying together for one another. And let us join our hearts as we come to the Lord seeking his mercies. Our Lord, you have demonstrated your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Your one unique Son you gave that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, how much more can we say? You have shown such mercy in him. You have turned aside your own wrath. You have put our sins behind your back. You have pronounced forgiveness. You have poured out your Holy Spirit upon us, brought us into assurance of salvation. Father, there really is nothing lacking in your mercy towards us. You have shown it so marvelously, shared it in our hearts so deeply. We really ought not to be afraid to turn to you for anything. Grace to help in time of need, O God. And so, Father, we do eagerly come before you this morning, coming with one another, encouraging one another, reinforcing one another, but coming to you, the giver of every good and perfect gift, the one who delights in his people. Our God, we wish to come before you this morning, ask for your blessings. And Father, we do pray that you would continue blessing this church. We give you thanks for many things that you have provided. We would hope that you would go on providing those things, provide even more. We ask that you would use this church as your instrument, an instrument of light in the city, light in the neighborhood, light in the people who contact it in any way. We ask, Father, that you would use the witness of people here to bless others with salvation. We ask that you would add to the number here, increase the strength of this congregation. We pray that you would give us joy as we rejoice in one another's gifts and graces, as we depend upon each other, as we nourish one another and give to one another and receive from one another. Father, we ask that these things would increase, that you would be honored, that we would be blessed. And Father, we pray too that you will take care of individual needs within the congregation. There are people who suffer physically. There are people who maybe suffer financially. There are people who are suffering losses of loved ones. Father, every one of us must have cares. We live in a world of misery. Some of those miseries come to us individually or as families. And we do ask, Father, that you would be providing your comfort and your strength and your provision for each individual, regardless of what the need might be. We ask that you would fulfill desires and fulfill hopes. When people hope that they would see you glorified in some way in their lives, their families, their children, we do pray, Father, that you would be giving your strength even as you give instruction and command and direction. Father, we do wish to lift our prayers to you this morning. There could be countless more things said, but we do bring to you some of the things we know about, some of the things that we are concerned about, knowing that you care for us, that you know all of these things before we even sense them or mention them. Your knowledge is beyond our grasp. You know what is good for the world in the long run. You know how to use all things to bring about your glory. And you know how to use all things to lead us to a better knowledge of you. Father, we bring our prayers to you and our thanksgivings and our praises. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, that's the passage that we will read for this morning's lesson. Let's see. But let us read Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. Okay. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And thus far, the reading of God's word. So, well, Does anybody remember the day we stuffed the crates for Ukraine? A month ago, all right? Some of us don't remember things week to week, but maybe you remember something we did 4 weeks ago. I hope so. Okay. That was an extraordinary day in the life of this church, wasn't it? Anybody say yes? Okay. Okay, we not only had Sunday school, worship, church dinner, something of an evening service maybe, and the fellowship of the saints, but we really had fellowship with one another around the packing of the crates. There's nothing like doing something together to really draw people close to one another. It was a time of identifying and using and developing and praising a multitude of gifts, and I mean spiritual gifts. We got to see who was good at stuffing fast. Got to see who was good at stuffing carefully. Got to see who was good at overall stuffing well. And all of that stuffing was thanks to some weeks, maybe a bunch of weeks, of basic management by some anonymous members of this church. The New Testament tells us of gifts of administrations, and let him who leads lead with diligence. What we did that afternoon came about thanks to some very diligent preparation and management by some of our members. And the real work that afternoon was for people tabulating each item, tabulating each crate, making a label of exactly what was in each crate and exactly what the cost of each item was in that crate. That was the real work. That was a gift exercised by somebody. I am glad somebody else did that. And they exercised that gift far from me. I am not a great tabulator. A lot of people are not great tabulators. I remember when we once helped somebody move into a house here in Lincoln, and you know when you move, there's a lot of boxes along with the furniture, and usually the boxes are labeled basement, kitchen, bedroom, whatever. That particular bunch of boxes included one entitled Stuff, etc. It was a great joke that day. And I said, a box like that makes me look like a fabulous administrator. Okay? But whoever was tabulating the boxes, the crates, the items on the crates of grain were way ahead of me on that sort of thing. But I trust that a day like that was an extraordinary blessing in the life of this church. I've already told some of you that the whole project was an extraordinary blessing in the life of Blaine. Right, Blaine? Okay. It was Tuesday night before that Sunday when the elders were meeting. Blaine just talked and said, I have seen so many good things. I've seen so much planning. I've seen so much effort. I've seen so much giving. Yeah. Just an extraordinary combination of fiscal and physical activity. And that was before we even got to the business of stuffing the crates yet. That night, Blaine had so much to say, I said, you should preach. I think at that time, Roy was in the hospital. I said, you should preach this Sunday. But Blaine refused, and Roy got out of the hospital, and Roy preached that Sunday. That's how God worked out things that week. But if you really want to know, if you really want to know about what blessing is all about, talk to Blaine and don't let him get away and make him tell you everything. It'd be a blessing to you both. Okay? Given what all the church went through in those days, I thought it would be good to preach a sermon on Christian kindness, Christian giving, Christian service. And don't think that that's 3 points. Those are just 3 phrases that I mean the same thing by. There might be some exhortation in this sermon, but I hope there's some celebration as well. We really do have a lot to celebrate given what the Lord did with and in us in that project. And the verse I'm turning to here is Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. If you want exhortation, there's a pretty big one here. Do good to all. Anytime you have opportunity. There seems to be no limit on the people that good attentions could serve. There seems to be no limit on the situations the Apostle Paul has in mind. If you know of a need, do something about it. There could be so much that Paul has in mind when he gives us these words. Now, we all know that Galatians is a book that speaks of justification by faith, an absolutely major theme. And Martin Luther and his associate Norm will be pressing that into your minds in Sunday school for the next umpteen weeks. And as I said earlier, this sermon has nothing to do with the Sunday school class. This sermon has been in the works for some time before the Sunday school class got going. But that theme of justification by faith is so important in Galatians. That theme of the compassion of God gave his only son for our salvation. We receive it by faith. We cannot earn it. So important in the book of Galatians, that theme of the compassion of God. But there's also a theme of the compassion of God's people as well. Kind of bubbles up in this particular verse. But let me give you some samples from the book of Galatians. Way back in chapter 2, it says, "The apostles in Jerusalem desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do." Back in chapter 2, verse 10, one sample early in the book. But when you get to chapter 5, you see a string of samples. Pardon me if I leave out parts of sentences as I work my way through. That's one of my favorite rhetorical devices. But look at chapter 5, verse 6. "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." Continuing on that overall thought about justification. But he says, "But faith working through love." And if you need to see more of what he means, go to 5:13. "You, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Verse 14, "All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said there's two great commandments. Right at the moment, Paul is kind of content with one great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." That's the opposite of what he obviously really wishes to say, but you can deliver an exhortation by saying something awful and pressing the opposite that way. Verse 19 of 5, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are hatred, jealousies, selfish ambitions, envy, and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, kindness, goodness, gentleness." Exhortations about loving, serving one another. Chapter 5 then leads to the beginning here of chapter 6, verse 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 6, "Share in all good things." I lifted one phrase out of it. Martin Luther might be upset with me for speaking of this generally because he likes to emphasize a certain particular application of that. But if you lift simply the thought, "share in all good things," you get a hold of that theme of compassion that there is. Chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good." If there's no limit to the needy and the opportunities of serving them, we might need an exhortation like this one. Don't grow weary while doing good. Verse 11, he gets real generous here himself when he says, see what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Okay. In those days, ink was not cheap. Parchment was not readily available. But Paul said, let me just show you how much I like to write to you. A string of exhortations to compassion, generosity, giving, bearing one another's burdens. It's great that we put the finishing touches on our contribution to the Crates for Ukraine. We trust that those crates will be used and used mightily there. But the crisis in Ukraine has been overtaken by the latest crisis, for example, in the Middle East. Earthquakes, fallen cities, homeless families, the need for just absolutely everything. Years ago, there was a student here from China. He went by the name Charlie. I knew him a little bit. He might have been a Christian. He certainly hung out with the other Christian Chinese here. But one day he said to me, there is one thing that makes it hard for me to believe that God is good. I said, what is that? He said, earthquakes. I said, only earthquakes? I mean, there's all kinds of people who would say injustice, hunger, disease, floods. There's all kinds of people with all kinds of reasons, and for you it's only earthquakes? He had been in a seriously devastating earthquake when he was little. He said, yeah, in an earthquake there's no help. Everything is broken. The roads are broken. The buildings have fallen down. The electrical power is gone. The water pipes are broken. Nobody is able to help each other because there's nothing there to depend on. That was his experience of an earthquake. We had two major earthquakes there in Turkey and Syria. Those happened not long before we stuff the crates for Ukraine. And this morning, you know, Sherry said, Mark, would you be sure and pray for the people in Mississippi? She's followed that news better than I have, I guess. And apparently, maybe things in Mississippi are worse than a lot of other tornado sufferers, all right? Let me just go on, okay? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, I have known Reformed scholars and Reformed deacons who have maintained that the Christian ministry of compassion should be limited to Christians. I've known certain churches with really extreme policies about that. Some would say we only give help to people who are Christians, and some might even go so far as to say we only give people who are members some help. It's really strict. Okay. Sherry and I once knew a Reformed scholar who is now studying in a more heavenly place than on earth. He maintained that this verse in Galatians, you ought to think of it as specifically to the household of faith. Most of your translations say especially. This old friend of ours said specifically to the house. And basically read it, do good to all men, and by that I mean members of the household of faith. There are people who go that far. And he compared this verse to 1 Timothy 4:10, where it says, God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. That's what you have in most of your translations. And the word, it can be translated especially, particularly, specifically, or namely. The word particularly is kind of there in the middle between especially and specifically. And if you waltz through your Bible with a little help from the Greek, you can see that the word gets translated by whichever English word seems to make the most sense at that particular location. That old friend of ours maintained that specifically sure made a lot more sense to him at 1 Timothy 4. God is the Savior of all men, specifically of those who believe. And if you have that word there, it would probably reduce a lot of questions that you might ask about that verse. And he says, specifically would really, really help there in 1 Timothy 4:10. And if you understand that there, then here in Galatians, it would also be appropriate, he thought. And he was maintaining that Christian charity or Christian helps should be confined to the household of faith. And as I said, I've known a fair number of Reformed teachers or even Reformed deacons who have maintained that. And I'd like to point out that before you get carried away with my old friend's assertion, you could remember that when the New Testament is really clear to mean particularly or specifically, it uses another word, a totally different word, a word unrelated to the word that we have here in Galatians 6:10. If the writers in the New Testament really, really mean to make it particularly or specifically, they have another word. This word has a breadth of meanings. You might let some of your Christian friends, even if you agree with people who would want to limit things to Christians as beneficiaries, you might let some of your Christian friends be content with especially here, as they would like to think beyond the household of faith. A little ambiguity and understanding here might be good for your soul. It might pull you in some ways that you would not like to be pulled. But having said all that about words here, the overall context of Galatians and everything else in Acts and Paul would probably indicate that Paul really is thinking about Christians in need, at least here in Galatians. When the other apostles urge him to remember the poor, they were thinking of poor Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And there were a lot there. When Jews throughout the empire retired from their businesses, when they stopped sewing tents and such, they wanted to retire in Jerusalem because any Jewish man wanted to be buried in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem wound up rather full of people with very limited resources themselves, drawing upon the resources of the people who lived and worked and were still busy in Jerusalem. That's why they needed a collection from all over the empire that Paul needed to bring back to Jerusalem for the sake of the saints that were back there. It is amazing how much space in Acts and in some of Paul's letters is given to things about that. Martin Luther, in his commentary on Galatians, he was frustrated with how much Paul had to say about it. Were the people of those days so hard-hearted, he said, that Paul had to mention it in so many different places? And you can see a fair amount of detail about all those things in 2 Corinthians 9, where he says, "I have the same instructions for you I gave to the Galatians." So, very probably, Paul is thinking about needy Christians, particularly needy Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. Yet, Christians were known for being kind and giving to all kinds of people beyond them. There was once a Roman official who wrote and said, I've been given special instructions to oppress and persecute the Christians in my city. He said, they haven't done anything wrong. They do so many good things to each other. They take care of their poor, and they take care of ours as well. And now I've got my instructions to oppress these people. I'm simply saying that regardless of what particular thing might be in mind at any particular time, very, very probably our mercy ought to go beyond the things that are most immediately beloved to us. There may be times when God speaks about the world in general and times he speaks specifically. Crates for Ukraine, kind of a specific event. Crates for Ukraine are heading to Christians who are most concerned about Christians. And praise the Lord for that. A lot of Christians have fled eastern Ukraine. And our Christians in Lviv, in the very far western edge of Ukraine, are most concerned about other Presbyterians coming from the east. Most of the Presbyterian churches in Ukraine were in the east. But there's many other Christians from many other churches of other denominations that have also been refugees. Lviv has many Christian churches, and all of them must have tons of stuff to do, tons of needs to deal with. And I wouldn't be surprised if all the churches try to back each other up and trade supplies when they need to. I've got extra blankets. Does anybody have extra food? I've got extra food. Does anybody have extra hypodermic needles? I've got extra needles. Does anybody have extra bandages? None of them can predict, you know, who's going to be in their midst and what the particular needs are going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if they all help each other out, regardless of denomination. And I wouldn't be surprised if our church there hosts people from other churches, and I wouldn't be surprised if our church there hosts some non-believers. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. God's sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. And war destroys everything for everybody. Earthquakes do in the houses of people regardless of their religion, regardless of their faith. And who knows how widely our crate stuff might get spread. It'll go directly to our missionaries there in Lviv. Who knows how many ways it might get shared, traded with others. I say, let's all be glad for what we did in those days. The love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. Jesus loved us and gave himself for us, and we love because he first loved us. I don't know how far along the crates are, but I hope very soon our crates will be in the hands of our Christian kinfolk there and serving other Christian kinfolk. And I hope that our stuff is being a witness of kindness to people in and out of the household of faith. I am so glad for that possibility. I am sure you are too. And I want us to praise God for that. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, your people suffer. Your people suffer. Sometimes they suffer immediately for being in the faith. Sometimes they suffer because they're in the way. Sometimes atmospheric stuff and earthquakes happen. Father, the world has become desperately needy because of the fall. It was good when you created it. But our first parents forgot who they were. They wished to be equal to you. They succumbed to the temptation of the serpent. Your world is now a place of misery. But you are mighty in mercy. You not only show your mercy, but you fill your people with mercy. Your Holy Spirit really works within us so that we are blessed and that you are honored, and we give you thanks for that, O God. We give you thanks for one particular project that we participated in. When I first heard about it, I didn't imagine us. But you were already working in the hearts of some of the members of the congregation before I ever knew about it. And you brought about a wondrous thing amongst us. We do ask, Father, that you will use things that we gave and sent to bless people, to provide life-saving things for people, comfort for people. Father, we ask that you would use this. We would love to hear news of it, O God. We do ask that you would bring honor and glory to yourself. And we are glad. We are glad that we have participated in a small way. Father, teach us again and again about your blessings. Give us joy in them. Give us joy in being servants. Give us joy in knowing your love, sharing your love. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.